Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. We are at the spot, if I can get this card right, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We're back down south in Australia with the beautiful Jocelyn Chong, and we are going to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, how it is living in a different country, being of different culture, but also being a woman of influence, a very smart woman in finance and accounting, which is pretty much a male-dominated area, finding love, trusting yourself, and really becoming a whole person. In addition to that, we're going to talk about her two books. So I'm so excited to welcome her to the Edge. Hello, beautiful. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you for that very gorgeous introduction. You've been so kind. And yes, I am all of that.
You are all that, and as they say, a bag of chips. Thank you so much. I love your hair, girl. What are you feeding that stuff? Look at this gorgeous thick.
I am blessed with amazing hair because I just don't drink, number one. I can drink alcohol. I just don't drink. And also, I just eat nourishing food. I try to keep it to a lot of greens. So my portion size is about 80% greens and 20%, you know, meat or protein. And I do make sure that I actually mask my hair regularly.
Oh, so you keep it good and moist.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, African-American women would love that because they cut all that off and they sew it on a whip. And then you never know, we got hair like you. So it's called human hair and they pay a fortune for it. So, what's up under that brain, though? That's what I want to know. Tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, who I am. I'm born in Malaysia and raised in a very multicultural background in Malaysia. Studied, did my tertiary then in Australia. So I left home when I was 17 years old. I came to Australia with two bags and two checks. So I had a check to pay for my uni and a check to live for my living expenses. So I had to make sure that I knew how to do my own cash flows. So I did that and I focused on accounting and finance. I double major in both areas. And then I had this dream when I was much younger that I've always wanted to work overseas. Mainly, I was heavily influenced by a lot of stories from Disney World and, you know, watching all those beautiful fairy tale stories influenced me to live overseas. And so I did. I made that happen. I asked my parents for permission. My dad and mom was happy to give their blessing. And so I pursued my career in Australia. I went into work for the largest bank in Australia for under 8 years. And I also work for a global consulting company called Ernst & Young. And thereafter, I move into leadership position, again, working for all the leading banks in Australia. So there's four major banks in Australia, and I've worked with three of them.
Wow.
And yeah, here I am. After 20 years of a corporate job, I decided to transition all my skill sets and experience and qualifications to my own consulting and coaching business.
That's beautiful. How did it feel being an Asian woman in a dominated, pretty much white male space in accounting and finance?
It wasn't easy. My first year as a grad with Ernst & Young, I was the only female, woman of color, in an environment where it is just, everything was not in my favor. Mm-hmm. But like anything else, there's two sides of the coin. So I chose to make it work for me.
That's right.
I chose to live in my purpose. I chose to overcome my fears, my barriers and turn it around to make it a good way of living. And I learned so much from that. And I think my background in Malaysia, living in a very diverse culture and environment, helped me really well, I suppose, adapt so well to that cultural background in Australia that working with men was just the way of life. I think my ambition was stronger than those areas of barriers that it kept me going.
Yeah, so your ambition was stronger than your opposition. And that's true. I love how you say that you are a woman of color. Brains, pay attention to that. Just because she is Asian, she is a woman of color. And we have to acknowledge that, all colors, even, you know, hues of lighter skin versus darker skin, red skin, brown skin, we are all a part of this planet. We are all a part of the human race. And so you have worked hard in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space as well to bring awareness and rise the level of consciousness. Now, when I came to Australia, I saw that there was a huge, I think it was more Chinese, well, because Malaysia is in China, but a more Chinese influence there. And I, you know, the food was great, the shopping was great, and there is the indigenous culture there. There are the Caucasians there. So it's a melting pot of individuals. And I think that, you know, from what I saw, it just seemed like it was a beautiful, harmonious place. How was living outside of working? Is it good?
So outside of work, my work, because I work for a larger organization, so there is more diverse culture. And because we have to hire a diverse culture to serve our clients.
Right.
So we get the opportunity to really meet everyone from all sorts of backgrounds, from Eastern Europe to Russia to Europe to South America to New Zealand to American natives. So I was very blessed to have that opportunity. And yes, although it was a very male-dominated environment, I think because I was so courageous to overcome that, I was so determined to rise above all the career ranks, that part of me really kept me strong and focused.
What was it? Was it easy to make friends outside of work? You know, is the community very welcoming? You know, women, because women can be catty. You know, they say, "Ooh, look at this pretty Asian girl with that long hair and that big smile and pretty red lips. We hate her."
Oh, I feel every part of that. That is the best description of me. Because in the corporate world, I was that nobody really liked me. I can't tell that in words, but you know, energetics is so strong. We are energy beings. So I feel that because there's very few female who would support me, cheer me on, or really champion the work that I want to do. And I'm only 2% out of the 98% that are male. And because I'm in wealth division, it was all male.
Wow.
But I just focused on what I could. I knew that was the environment I had. I knew there was a lot of misalignment. And on top of that, I don't drink beer. In Australia, there's such a big beer culture.
Oh, okay.
I don't smoke.
Yeah.
So I'm part of so many different clubs, so-called, that didn't fit into the group. And I also love to progress in a lot of cultural stuff compared to the sporting stuff, because in Australia we support cricket, we support the local football. I'm not those either, so I've got quite a few things that were not for me, but I made it happen. I love the cuisines that are, you know, cooked by all the different cultures. I just enjoy, you know, travel and learn and expand my experience through different methods and ways, and just made it work. But what really, really triggered the change was that the more I wanted to be who I am, the more the environment around me worked against me. And so I knew I have the skills, but I knew that the environment was not the right one for me to flourish over time. So what I needed to do was to really ensure that I transfer all the skills, experience, and the qualifications and serve the people, my own tribe, who would understand me, who would see where I come from as well. And so the upcoming generation feel the same, because many of us migrated from different countries, and we would feel those type of areas that we need to assimilate to Australia's culture.
Mm-hmm. I know. You know, instead of folks trying to acculturate, they want you to assimilate. I get it. Yeah. I'll tell you something. I love to tell my stories, Brains, but I had a past life experience. I think I shared this with you, that I was Malaysian in a previous life. I couldn't believe it. But it was so prominent. It was so strong. I kept having dreams. I kept having downloads. I kept having visions that I had to go to China. And as I walked through the Forbidden City, my feet never touched the ground. I literally floated. I looked in the window of the displays. I could see myself. I could see the jade. I could see that I was an empress. It was amazing. So people don't understand how close the Chinese culture is to Africa and African culture there. And the, you know, if you look and Google it, Brains, you will see that there is a strong influence. There's a strong tribal culture there. There is a strong discipline. Women are still, unfortunately, I don't know how it is right now, but they're still suppressed. And when I say suppressed, they're silent. They really don't talk about uprising or change. They go along to get along. They are denied some opportunities, or if they're not, they're given opportunities, but those opportunities are dictated to and they are controlled. Growing up, you said that, you know, your father was a wonderful provider, but he wasn't there. What was the relationship and the molding that you got from your mother about being a strong, independent woman? Because you did, you know, you branched out and went to a whole nother country to start your life. What kind of support did you get from your mother?
My mother was amazing. My mother taught in the same school for 40 years. And what I learned from her was she has an amazing quality in her life. Her patience are beyond words. She inherited that from her father. My grandmother heavily influenced me to be who I am today. She was someone that spoke words of wisdom. She was someone that taught me about entrepreneurship. She was someone that taught me about customer service. She was someone that knew every price of her inventory till the very last breath she had. She was someone that was smart in numbers. We always say this, that if only she had been given the opportunity during after World War II to pursue her education, she would have been one of the most prominent female leaders in the country.
Oh, wow.
But she did all she could with what she could, and she left us such a great legacy. And so I always have her close to my heart.
Yes, you do.
She's always someone that, you know, told me. And I remembered one year in Chinese culture, in the Lunar New Year, you exchange red packets.
I know. So I got some. I keep some red envelopes. I sure do.
And she spoke. Yes. And she spoke that blessing. And that stuck with my mind vividly. She said, you know what? You go all the way in the Chinese saying, and you become a CEO one day. So I had no one else in my life who would speak that level of authority, impartation, and blessing. And she did. She saw that in me. I was seen by her. I was heard by her. I was embraced by her. I was raised by her. Because both my parents are working. So I was the eldest grandchildren of her side, and she raised me. So I got that love and support from her.
Well, I can tell you just radiate when you talk about it. There was four words that you used: patience, wisdom, quiet, and observer. Those are a lot of traits of the Asian culture that I have observed. very patient people. You know, whether you agree or not, they don't fly off the handle real quick because they're observing. They're watching what you're doing. They are quiet. When they walk, they say, when you walk softly, like kissing the earth. And wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom that they harnessed, but they also give that to their children through story. There's a lot of cultures that are through story, through visualization. It's not always talking, brain. So that might be something that we can incorporate in our own lives. And I do that. I think about that. I step back and I'm quiet. I'm observant. You know, I watch everything. I don't miss nothing in the room. Okay. And wisdom. I share my wisdom with people. And that is so, so important. You took all of this knowledge, all of the skills, all of these learnings, and you created books. Tell us a little bit about your books and let us see them.
Success Code is the first book project I participated in May last year. It was published on the 3rd of September. The following one, project number two, was published in December last year on December the 12th. Both books became an international bestseller across 5 countries on Amazon. And this book won an international best award book as well, October in US. The dream about becoming an author was always on my vision board. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times I always put it down to one day I will become so and so. But last year, I did a lot of work around collapsing time. And I believe that if I just say it now and I don't need to know everything about it, I trust the universe in the process, the universe delivers.
That's right.
So every I took that opportunity.
But let me stop. Let me ask you a question. We manifest things, but how do you feel when the universe delivers something in contrast than what you asked for? How do you receive that?
So here's what I learned now. Everything happens for a reason my life. And it is a matter of my thoughts and brain, how my brain would choose to process that. Now, I've done a lot of self-work and I've done a lot of healing across, you know, issues that I had in the past that I did not have it right. And so creating that self-awareness enables me now to be able to go, if it's coming this way, it's either a test to help me strengthen certain areas that I am not aware of that I need to learn more. So in the past, I would be disappointed and go, April, I failed. Now it's like, what can I learn from this event, this situation?
Go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
Because everything is teaching me something. And if I choose to really see it from that perspective, I am richer in life.
That's right.
Not just finances, time, health, vitality, relationship, but I'm richer in wisdom.
That's right.
And so I choose to take responsibility 100% and go, what can I learn from it?
Oh my God, you should be in San Diego. We would be the best of friends. Oh my God, I love you. Because people get it. Well, come on, okay? I will just treat you like a queen. But people don't understand that. They don't take responsibility for their cotton-picking actions. You did it, brains. And if it does not work out in your favor, understand that there is a learning in there. Okay? What does not kill you only makes you stronger. And if you do not know, if you don't know pain, you'll never know pleasure. That can be in love. That can be in finance. That can be in your health. All of these things are wisdom that you need to do. You know, I tell my kids stuff. And they come back and they say, well, Mom, you know, we listen to everything you say. We may not apply it. I said, okay, well, then that's fine. Because it's on you. You can't say that no one ever warned you or didn't teach you. But if you make a mistake, I apologize, I'm sorry, I learned from it, you know, lick your wounds, wipe your tears, get up and move on. Because that's a part of the process. But that's a part of the self-love. even adversity is a part of loving yourself, because you want to heal yourself. You want to nurture yourself back to feeling whole. Okay, but you can't do that if you never acknowledge what has truly happened to you. So bravo, good on you, as they say in Australia, good on you.
So I know.
You told me a little bit about, you know, finding love in all the wrong places. Were you drawing the same type of negative energy? Was there a certain profile? Did he have to be a certain height and hair color and, you know, smell good and have money, all that? Was that kind of, were you kind of profiling all of the guys and you kept getting the wrong one until now?
So here's the story, the backstory. My upbringing has never taught me to find the right match. They've taught me to be the best person I can be. So my right understanding of finding the right match was very much influenced by magazines, Bazaar, Cosmopolitan, Vogue, rom-com movies. And so I have all these ideas that I need someone who is 6'2", you know, 80 kilos, muscles, you know, earn good money. But that's just the exterior. Underlying that, what are their character? Who are they? Do they have patience? Do they have self-love? Do they have wisdom? Do they make good decisions? Are they kind? So all those things was very much the exterior until I learned that, you know what, there's more to a person than all the external luxurious branded prestige that they carry. And I was attracted to that because I was taught to attract to those. But also, I knew deep down, will I want to spend time in my life with someone like that? Will they be good for my children? Will they be good for the future? And so I had to learn it the hard way. Kiss a lot of frog until you actually meet a prince.
Girl, you know, wait a minute. You are my best friend. I say that all the time. You know, I kissed a few frogs till I found a prince. Absolutely. And you leave with some warts.
Yes. And you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Again, that was life lessons. And also, I had one very strong criteria when I was in corporate, that because I was working with men, I will never date anyone in my organization, because I was progressing and promoted so quickly, I was easily becoming their manager.
Right. And, so and you know what? Pool. You never want to get your honey where you make your money.
Oh, no.
It gets problematic real quick.
I see that all day, every day in corporate. And so I had to look for external pool to tap into. And so it wasn't easy, because one of my key major component of my day is very much with people. So I'll speak with people about 75% of my time throughout the day. Now, when you go out and try to date again, you're exhausted. Sometimes it's hard. And because I'm in certain level, men feel threatened.
Yeah.
Because they also feel that you're a woman of color, you're educated, you're capable, you're earning multiple six figure. Oh my God, what are you going to rule over my life?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
There was no opportunity to meet someone equal until I left corporate and I started my own business. And then I came to know my current partner. And so it was just a number of, you know, criteria elements that didn't work out for me, but all those brought me to learn more about self-love, to learn more about respecting who I am, to learn more about what it means to look for someone who's kind. You know, looks is not everything. Mm-hmm. Because I dated some of the most good-looking guys I can meet.
And they be so ugly on the inside.
Yes. And so, you know, I mentioned we are energetic beings, and you can meet the most good-looking, amazing human being exterior, drive the amazing car, live the best suburb, have the best jobs, you know, whether they are in C-suite roles. I've dated all of them, but yet I've been like, it leaves such a distasteful, you know, experience after that, because they're not focusing on you. They don't want to spend time with you. They don't want to listen to you. You're the trophy girlfriend. And so I didn't want to feel in that role. I actually want to build relationship with someone. So lots of lessons. And now I'm really happy with who I am with because he is everything that I want from a character, personality, you know, good family background who really care, like genuinely care for another human being.
Yeah, and that's huge. That's huge. I tell people that I would sleep in the park and eat grass with Mr. Magnificent because he's just that wonderful to me. You know, he's just that wonderful to me. And it doesn't matter about the things, you can't take them with you. I'm trying to take my soulmate with me to the next hereafter, to the next life. I want to ask you a little bit about your current coaching program and what you're pouring into the individuals and who's your ideal client.
I love working with people in the corporate world that have already had skills and now they are moving to the next chapter of their world. And they go, what can I do more to serve humanity at a different level? So they are my ideal client, anyone over 35 years old. They want to pursue a career. They want to set up their consulting business. And they really want to create business, not working more after leaving 40 hours, but working wisely, boost their own productivity, have good understanding around managing their finances so that their business can flourish. They are serving their most aligned clients when they are doing their self-work. I help them with that. So I have got a one-on-one coaching program, which I create a very safe container. And the reason why I say safe container is because I choose to allow them to be fully who they are. I choose to create that space that is so safe for them to share who they are. Because more often than not, there was no space created for me that I was able to be fully who I am. And so now I'm doing that to serve someone else and create that space so that they are able to be who they are and bring out their gifts, their talents, and what they are born for. So I've got programs around that.
You are doing an amazing job. Just your conversation alone is heavy. So brains, bring your crane, okay, so that you can lift it. I want to... you to tell my brains how to get in contact with you. But before you do that, leave us with some wisdom. And what do you want your legacy to be?
I love that question because I actually had that question asked many times. And obviously one of the best chapters that I've ever read from Stephen Covey's book, From the Habits of 7 Highly Effective People. What is my legacy? I would love to have a legacy that you know who you are because you need to know you are coming on this earth for such a time as this. Learn about who you are, learn about your own skills and superpower and use your superpower to serve someone else. Serve, contribute, and it's important to start from within. Understanding that self-love will then help you mirror that to the world. And the deeper we go, the more we are going to help more other people around us. And so I want my bright light to shine as far as to the ends of this earth. And, you know, every chapter, every book that I'm part of and the books that I'll continue to write in the future, I hope that it lends to places that my voice, my energy cannot reach. And that's another channel that they can read my story.
Well, may I offer a suggestion that you do an audiobook? Because again, your wisdom and your voice inflection really penetrate and saturate through your voice. And also, are you bilingual?
I can be. I have, you know, other languages, but I've not spoken of them for many years now.
Well, living in practice speaking whatever dialect it is from Malaysia. And share this with other women of the culture, because this is the time of the woman. And we, again, this is, you know, Women's History Month. This is a time for a revolution. It is time for an upheaval to take our bodies back, what we do with them, to be able to manage our finance, to be able to delegate responsibility to men to take care of the children, to understand self-love and self-worth, and to forge ahead to build a much brighter world. Because men, you've been doing it, and I love a man, okay? But you need to sit over in the passenger seat and let me drive this car. It's a new day. It's a new day. So please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Jocelyn.
There's a number of ways.
It's Jocelyn. How do you pronounce it? Jocelyn or Jocelyn?
Jocelyn. Either way.
It's a joy, whatever.
It is joy. And come and connect with me, number one, through my Instagram. So _JocelynChong_. You can find me on LinkedIn as well, Jocelyn Chong. And you can also find me on Facebook. Last but not least, come and visit me on my website is jocelynchong.com.au.
Make that a priority, brains. For a cultural experience, for a woman experience, for a beautiful smile. And now I think I found me another best friend.
So have I.
Yeah. So brains, go back and listen to other edgy conversations right here at this address, right here on the edge. Where am I at? I'm right here. The place where the conversation is pointed, like I told you, the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. We got it for you. We want to bring it to you on so many levels. We want you to win. Damn it. I keep telling you that. We are not crabs in the barrel. We're not trying to suppress you. We're trying to elevate you on all levels. Okay? So share your time, share your wisdom, share your money with other individuals. It is meant to be recycled. It is nothing but energy. And you are an energetic soul. Thank you so much, Jocelyn. I love you deeply and completely.
Love you, April. Thank you so much for having me as a podcast guest.
Absolutely. All right, brains, get yourself together. Bye.
Bye.